everybody. It's me, Chris Tyler, a.k.a. the Ham Metal Hero. This is a new show I got going on here, and I'm bringing along a buddy of mine, Bob. Bob, there he is. There's the chuckle. There's the Bob Bobson chuckle. Bob Bobson, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh,
pleasure.
Everybody's doing real well, I can tell.
Pleasure.
Yeah, this is a new venture, a new exploration in entertainment from me and one of my oldest friends, Bob. And this is grown men having conversations.
Yeah, we're just going to chat, talk about stuff, talk about important things going on in the world today.
Yeah.
Just shoot the shit.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And chances are when this goes up, the groan will be in quotation marks, because as you'll come to find out, the only thing that's growing on us is our bellies. So,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, little bit of backstory. Bob is one of my closest friends. I was the best man in his wedding. He's going to be the best man at my wedding.
I saved your life.
He did save my life. All right. So,
wasn't just you're the best man.
All right. Zach Morris, time out right here. I'm going to tell a little bit of story, because that's what we're going to do on this show. It's going to be like, this is going to be like better than NPR for nerds. This is going to be awesome. So,
yeah.
So Bob and his lovely wife, Kay, they were dating for quite a long time. They lived together for quite a long time. And finally got to the point where Bob was going to drop a rock. And everybody was like, oh, thank God. Now, knowing Bob in the capacity that I know him, I figured I was going to have to be in the wedding, because that's just how we roll. You know, there's only one other man that will sit down and do a double feature of Highlander and Willow with me. So, right after he announced that he was going to get married, I figured, okay, I got to squeeze into a tux. So I started dieting. And then about 2 days after I started dieting, he lets me know that I'm going to be the best man. And I was like, okay, good. I already started dieting. And, I'm back to being fat, but there was a time right before Bob's wedding where I lost a lot of weight.
You were very conflicted, dude, at that time.
I was not in a great headspace. A
lot of questions. And
a lot of questions.
Fishing,
a lot of questions.
Fishing,
left
you know?
Or right, up or down, thick or thin. It was just, it wasn't good. But it wasn't good. So Bob gives me this proposition that, hey, you're going to be my best man.
Yeah.
So started the path towards saving my life.
That's when the montage started, and you just, you know, it's like you're fucking making good decisions. You know, you're not eating two cheeseburgers, you're only doing one.
That's
you know
key.
What I'm saying?
That's key.
I think when you learn that you just don't eat twice of everything, that's when you lost like 20 pounds right away. Just stop eating. When you stopped eating twice of that, two things, like, you know, I'd say one thing. That was the biggest first step. I mean,
it gets a little bit harder when you're dealing with something like corn or rice, though, because, you know, usually when you have those, you eat like 500 of them at a time. So.
Yeah, but it's also, you get the bonus of taking a huge dump afterwards, too, and it's just like, there's nothing like...
Oh, isn't that the best, though? It'll be like 3 days later, and you go, when did I have corn? It's best.
It just cleanses you, man.
It does. It
yeah,
pushes
it's like,
everything out. It's
as an old man, I appreciate that.
It's nature's laxative. So
yeah, I mean, fuck prunes. Corn's where it's at. You don't need prunes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, a prune's basically candy. That's nature's candy.
Yeah,
it's sweet. It's a big raisin. So,
yeah.
And but I honestly, I did the low carb thing, and I did drop a ton of weight, but it did. It saved my life because I wasn't doing too hot. And so, I mean, look, if I'm gonna do a show with one of my friends, it's gonna be the man that saved my life.
You're welcome.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. Now, okay, so that was a little heavy, a little serious, but
yeah. Get the tissue out, you know. Just, you know, wipe away the tears and let's resume.
Wipe away whatever, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
it could be anything. You can wipe away anything with the tissue.
Oh,
so all right, where was I going now? So okay,
sausage.
Yeah, we're gonna get to some sausage, but
okay.
Like I was saying, I've known Bob for a long time. Him and my other best friend's Chuck. And Chuck's got a little brother named Joe, and Joe and Bob, same age, same school, you know, went to grade school, middle school together, all that. So by knowing Chuck and knowing Joe, I met Bob, and you know, we've been thick as thieves pretty much ever since, because we have a similar sense of humor, as I'm sure you'll come to find out on this show. And one of the things that we've started in the last couple of years, since we like to present ourselves as alpha men, I don't know if we are. I think we're probably more spherical men at this point.
I think we're wizards. We're not alpha.
We're meat wizards.
Because we're wizards.
Meat wizards. So, yeah. The clear blue one day, Bob sends me a text message, and he says, "Go to Whole Foods." And yep. I say, "Why?" He says, "I need you to get natural pig intestine casings."
Yeah. And give me 100 feet of pig intestine.
And I my next response was, "Why?" big bold. I was like, "I don't know where this is going. I don't know what you and Kay are into. I don't think I want to know."
Oh, I said also make sure they're fresh. Don't get the ones that are cold.
Yeah, that's true.
In salt, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure they're fresh.
They're fresh. They got to be those fresh intestines.
Yeah.
So big bold capital letters in the text back, "We're making sausage."
Yeah.
And okay, I love meat. I love working meat. I love meat in my mouth. So how could I say no to this proposition? I go to Whole Foods, which is a store that I don't particularly care for. But I go there. I walk up to the butcher's counter. And I say, "I need pig intestines." And they say, "Why?" See, they get the same response. I say, "I'm making sausage."
And what they do they say, expect for the answer? Like, well, why? Well, what else do you use pig intestines for?
I'm the customer. I will buy whatever it is I want to buy.
Yeah, right.
And they say, "Well, we make our own sausage. It's delicious. Why don't you buy that?" Because I want to make sausage.
Yeah.
Man, like, I thought the customer was always right. Didn't anybody ever see Falling Down? Come on. Customer is always
right. I just want 100 feet of pig intestine.
Yeah, I was ready. I was ready to go full on Michael Douglas if he didn't give me the pig intestines.
Yeah, they were confused, though, and I think when you ended up buying it, it was like super cheap. Pig intestine isn't that expensive.
No,
I
mean, so really, why would you ever go with a different casing? You gotta get that natural snap.
Yeah.
So I buy the pig intestines. I go over to Bob's house. Bob has a pork shoulder. We got some salt pork. We've got seasonings. We got everything ready. He's got the Cuisinart stand mixer that's got the rotary die that you can put on so that you can grind your own meat.
Yeah.
As you know, you're wont to do sometimes.
It's lime green. It looks like it'd be in Guy Fieri's kitchen, but you know,
well, that is every money now right and then there.
You got to turn it up, you know?
Oh yeah. So
I mean, it's beautiful. It looks like it's moving. It's just it's a great machine. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it too. Hopefully I'll be getting one for my wedding or after my wedding because I, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a hint?
Well, no.
Was that a hint?
No. I mean, hint? I'm always going to want to grind meat.
No, you want hookers.
Yeah. That goes without
saying. You get your hookers. No. Give me a quiz.
Oh, yeah. So we got everything all laid out, right? So this is our first go making sausage. We don't know what the hell we're doing. The only thing I know about making sausage is from that episode of Seinfeld where Kramer and Newman are shirtless in Jerry's kitchen grinding meat and hanging sausages. So
yeah, I mean that in some ways I guess that motivated me to take, you know, go and try this. I mean, you know, overall, as you know, I'm not only am I into like making sausages, but I've undertaken other ventures.
Yes.
I'm
and, sure we'll get to those in another episode too.
Yeah, it's really about self-sufficiency. I think at that time the new Mad Max movie had come out, and you know, I was really, when I saw the whole, you know, the bullet guy and there's the gas guy and then there's the water guy, and I thought, where would
you
I
want to be the sausage guy?
I want to be the sausage guy. It's a sausage economy, and people are going to want sausage when the world ends.
And honestly, if the day ever comes where we need to subsist on other people, you know, where we have to make long pig sausages, we'll be
able to make human sausage.
Yep, long pig. That's what they call it.
Yeah, it's a nice way to eat, you know, disgusting meats. And you know, in this situation, obviously we weren't using kind of the grody, well, not grody, but just the shit that we don't eat in first world countries, like the heavy. heavy meats, but like the organs and whatnot. But you know, you got to start with the good stuff.
Yeah. So
I'm not that bold. It needed to taste good that first go around.
Yeah. Yes. And usually if you're gonna do a pork sausage, because you can do other meats, you can get reindeer, you can get venison, you can get beef.
You can do any meat.
You can do any meat. It's when you grind something together and cook it, you can make it whatever you want.
Yeah. Just need an emulsifier. You know, usually some egg will do it. And you're good, man.
Yeah.
That's in the one mega meat.
Oh, the mega meat. Yeah, we'll have to get... Well, next time we do sausage, we got to try to do the mega meat.
But, yeah. The apocalypse sausage, which is... I want to have, like, every meat you can buy in the grocery store all in one sausage.
There's actually a guy on YouTube, Binging with Babish, where he kind of makes...
He did that?
Yeah, he kind of did.
I got to watch that. That's amazing. That's brilliant.
Yeah, so Babish, if you ever hear this, love your show, man.
Yeah, I got to watch your show.
All right. But that's neither here nor there. So when you're going to do a sausage, if you're going to do your own sausage and you have the, and you can't do it with a hand grinder, it's going to take way longer and it's going to be a lot harder.
Just don't do it with a hand grinder.
Don't do it with a hand grinder.
You got other shit you got to do in your life. It's a modern world we live in. You know, like you can't do anything for more than an hour. Like we got machines doing a lot of shit for us. You might as well have to grind your meat too.
Yes.
So don't get a hand grinder. You're not a fucking pilgrim.
No.
You know, you're a modern person. So.
No, we're not Luddites here.
Yeah, don't do that. It's bad.
So you start with a good piece of pork. It's usually a pork shoulder.
Yeah.
Usually it's the picnic cut. If you can get it without the bone, you're going to want to get it without the bone, because trimming a large pork shoulder off the bone takes a long time.
Yeah.
I know. It sucks.
And you gotta have sharp knives, and you know you don't want to cut your fucking hand.
No, you're gonna need a paring knife to get it all around the bone. Then you have to then break down that large chunk into about 1-inch cubes.
Yep.
And when you're gonna make the sausage, something that you wouldn't think of, you gotta refrigerate that shit.
Freeze that shit.
Yeah, you gotta throw it in the freezer. It has to be solid enough to pass through the grinding die. Without turning into mush, because if it's too warm, or if the machinery is too warm, all of that fat is going to start to render, and then you're going to be left with plop.
Yep.
So not good. So you cut the meat, freeze the meat. Once it's frozen, you can start seasoning it a little bit. You know, your basic stuff, your salt and pepper. You know, you just got to start giving it some flavor.
And one thing you missed though is that you gotta in addition to getting like the pork shoulder, you also gotta get yourself either some fat back
or some bacon.
Just bacon, something with fat in it, because when you're making that sausage and you're cooking it, it's
going
to lose a lot of that moisture. So you got to make sure just almost too much fat in there. You'll definitely pay off that marbling.
Yeah, you got to have the marbling. It's a sausage. It's not a steak. So
yeah, exactly.
It's not a pork chop. It's a pork sausage, and it will be dry as hell if you don't put enough fat in there. And you also
we made that mistake, I think, one of the first go-rounds.
Yeah,
it
was not great.
It wasn't good.
It was not great. So you also have to rinse the intestines as well in cleanest water possible. You got to get any accumulated
shit out of
it.
That's it. If you don't wash it, you're going to get shit in your sausage. And some people are into that, and it might give it a more – who knows? It might add mysterious flavors, but – overall, you know, if you don't want shit in your sausage, definitely wash it.
Yes.
Because who knows what's been up there.
Yeah, and if you're not looking to do links, you don't need the casing. You can just grind the meat, let it sit, you know, a little while, and let those flavors meld, and then you can just make sausage patties.
That's just sausage, too, yeah.
But we like links. We like phallic-shaped pieces of meat. So,
it's the most efficient shape to eat meat.
Isn't it, though?
It is. It's
it fits in the hand.
It's just like, you know.
It fits in the hand easily. So, we get done with our seasoning. We get done with our grind. Now comes the stuffing. And this is where you need to have a two-man tandem attack on this sausage meat.
Yeah, you got to double team the sausage. It's one of those things, if you try to do it solo, it can be done.
It can, but
you
have to go. You have to go real, real slow, and you need to have a decent sized workspace.
Yeah, you can't do it. I gotta say, if you're out there, And one, if you're really thinking to make sausage, you gotta make sure you got more than one person, because again, it sounds easy, and even when you watch videos, you'll see these experts making sausage, and they're just like, you know, these like Italians in northern Italy, just like, da, 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 you know, just fucking.
Yeah, and they're doing it with the hand grinder too, which it's like, yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, but like I said, this is, you know, fuck them, you know, you don't need all that, you don't need to do that stuff, use machines, you know, machines are good. But again, it's, just do two, but you gotta find something to spot you.
Yeah, definitely. And also don't try to do as much of an amount as we tried to do up front.
Well, here's the thing, though, because the first time go around, right? I'm motivated. I'm ready to become the sausage king. You know, when
Abe Froman?
Hits the fan, I'm gonna have when it hits, shit hits the fan, I'm gonna have all this skill. I'm gonna be able to make all these meats. And so, you know, when people are starving, when we're only eating people, I'm sick of eating humans. I get this sausage here. You know, even if it's human, they won't know. And it'll taste great, and it'll remind people of the old days. And I just think that'll really just, you know, I think set me up, you know, after the apocalypse. So again,
I agree.
We were motivated, and we got like a good 20 pounds, you know, of sausage,
which takes a fuck,
it makes a lot of sausage, dude.
Fuck long time to make though. I mean, that was an all day process to make all that sausage.
It was.
Let's get back. Let's get back to the stuffing of the meat.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have to thread your casings, your clean casings, onto the nozzle at the end of the die.
With, gotta like, be gentle. With, gotta yeah. be ever so gentle.
It's gonna sound crude. It is similar to applying a condom. Yeah. You have to tie off the end because it doesn't have the reservoir tip. Think about that.
No. Well, the link is just a gigantic reservoir tip that you're just filling up with sausage meat.
Yeah. So you gotta have a stopper on that.
Yeah, pretty and much then, tie knot.
Yeah. So one person will take the cold meat, and they will feed it slowly and lovingly into the feeder part of the grinder. As it slowly passes through that cutting die, it will slowly start to fill the tube. And that's why the other pair of hands is necessary, because you have to kind of work it a little bit, and you also have to have your coil action going, because it's sausage. You can coil opposite directions and make links while you're doing that. It's a little bit harder. Ideally, you're gonna have the meat come out in the tube, and it takes a long time. You gotta use your fingers. You gotta use the plunger to push everything down.
And you it have makes to, a lot of disgusting sounds too.
It sounds like the best, sloppiest, wettest, nastiest sex you could have. It's great.
Oh yeah.
So you have the one person feed. You have the one person coil the giant link of sausage. That's what we did every time we've done it.
And you got needles. You got to be holding a needle. And
that's
every,
right.
Every,
air pockets,
every few.
Yeah. Air pockets will accumulate in the casing. So as it's coming out, you do want to prick it with a clean needle to then release where you see any air pockets. Because you don't want to, you know, cook that sausage.
You don't want to blow out.
Yeah,
blow
basically
out.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So after...
Don't want to blow out. That's the worst case scenario when making a sausage. Because you got like a good 30 feet of link going, and you got a blowout, and then it's just it's fucking chaos.
It's tough to get it back. You can't. You know how they say you can't stuff the sausage back in the casing? You can't.
You really can't.
You can't.
No, that's a statement based in reality. That's life right there.
That is a life lesson.
That's a butcher's metaphor.
Yeah, yeah. Better than the one from Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
So, after several hours of doing all this work, we have a massive rope of pork.
Yeah, we're set.
Yeah,
if the world ended that next day, I could easily cure that sausage and at least get a gun, you know, and that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
But that we at least had a gun worth of sausage. Yeah.
I will trade you this link of sausage.
No, exactly. It's like everyone thinks they need guns. Everyone thinks they need to have, like, you know, the most up-to-date assault rifle. And it's going to be convenience things that people are going to be looking for. And that's how you're going to really, you know, make it happen. You know, think of the gold rush. It's the guys that made money in the gold rush weren't the people finding gold. It was the people, you know, making jeans, selling shovels. That's who you got to set yourself up to be. And with this sausage, I think, you know, we were in a good position.
Yeah. I also forgot to mention, before you start stuffing that, you want to take a little bit of your ground sausage meat, cook it in a frying pan, test it for final seasoning.
Yeah, because that was the thing that really threw me off, is you really got to season the hell out of it.
Yeah, I mean, when you're working with that that quantity, there's no such thing as, like, too much pepper, too much, you know, fennel. If you're going to go Italian sausage, you're going to put the fennel and, you know, some chili flake in there.
And if you want to cheat, too, and I encourage this, you get MSG. You go to the store.
Yep.
You find that dark corner where they got the MSG and throw a little of that in there.
Throw a little soy lecithin. That's a good binding agent.
You can cheat, you know. That's okay.
That's all right. Hey, look, I watch a lot of those cooking shows. All those barbecue guys, they all do the Texas cheat. We're just doing the sausage cheat.
There you go.
But when you are done and you have that giant rope of sausage there, the pride and accomplishment that you feel looking at the meat that you have put together, it's a feeling like nothing else. It really is. I mean, we like to cook in general. Like, we do stupid shit food-wise. Like, you know, there are places now that sell Big Mac pizza.
We were the first.
We should have trademarked it, because we did it, like, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Maybe that'll be another story for another time. The Big Mac pizza and you know, the jelly donut burgers.
That's the thing that's going to be – that's already starting to happen. You'll see jelly – what you do is you get the jelly donut at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Luther burger that, you know, Luther Vandross helped create with it's just the glazed donut. No. We took it to the next level.
No, you take a jelly donut, you take a bunch of brie, and then throw a burger in there. That's all you need.
Yeah.
And you're good.
Just
do that right now. Actually, just stop listening to the show.
Forget about the sausage.
Go
make the jelly donut burger.
That's better than this sausage. This sausage is shit compared to that burger. But anyway.
The sausage is still pretty good, though.
It's good, yeah. But yeah. I want to go to Dunkin' Donuts now.
I mean, you know what, man? All right, side tangent here. Dunkin' Donuts, they don't make their donuts fresh in the stores anymore. They're all trucked in from one distributor now.
Yeah.
They've gotten smaller. They don't taste nearly as good. And honestly, Dunkin' Donuts, your breakfast sandwiches suck now, too. All right, I'm going on record.
Yeah, fuck you, Dunkin' Donuts.
Unfortunately, we live in a society now where the best breakfast sandwich is still at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is called the McGriddle.
Yeah.
It is heaven in a wax paper wrap. And thankfully, you can get them all day now. But that's all I'm going to say about McDonald's.
That was one of the smartest moves from McDonald's.
They announce all-day breakfast? But only certain items? Like, are you kidding me? I'm fat again. I want that McGriddle.
Why don't they do all day dinner too? Why can't they go both directions?
I think you can get burgers all day now. Burgers
for
breakfast. But you know, I don't really go on benders anymore, so I don't need a
burger. You don't need 20 chicken nugs in the morning?
20 chicken. Well, the 100 nugs story, we'll tell that another time. But
that's another one, yeah. That's
there's probably
going
to be a lot of food talk on the show. This show is free form. There is no format to it. We're just
having conversations.
Groan, man. Groan. You can hear the groan from the audience. But why don't we just get up to some current personal events? Like what have you been playing recently? What video games have you been playing?
Oh man, you know I've been playing PUBG constantly. I can't stop.
All right, so PUBG, for anybody that's not hip to the scene, is a game called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's a 100-man massive battle royale. So you get airdropped out of a plane, you land on an island, and you have to scavenge for all of your weapons and items. And the game forces you to interact, because you can hide out for a while, and hiding's definitely a part of the game. But it's like if you read the Hunger Games books, certain parts of the island would start to get walled off. And if you stay in the zones that are no longer playable, your health drains, forcing you to move. Everybody ends up eventually moving towards one area where they're all going to convene.
Yeah.
So it forces the action. It's a great premise. It's not the first game to do it, certainly. Fortnite is another game. It's a little more cartoony.
Yeah, fuck Fortnite. That shit's horrible. But that's a popular one. That's got all the money behind it.
It's free. But, I mean, that helps.
I've
played a couple of rounds with Bob, and I suck at games. I still play them. I suck at them, though.
You're good to have on a squad, though, because you run ahead of everyone. The other guys start shooting at you,
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can find people by just having you run in front of us.
Hey, man, somebody's got to run point, you know.
Because you're not good at killing people, but I got to say you're hard to kill. And, you know, that there's something to be said for that.
Oh, man, that's right. I am hard to kill. You can call me Steven Seagal.
No, really, you can't. You suck at shooting people, but, like, you're a survivor, man. And that's, you know, that's part of what this game's about. It's about how will you survive. And in many ways, it fits in with this whole idea of, you know, just surviving in a hostile environment. And
all I need is my frying pan and my sausage, and I'm good.
Yeah, your sausage, frying pan. It's all part of a bigger picture, just preparing for the impending, you know, apocalypse.
Yeah,
the signs are there. You know, PUBG is great because it prepares you for that. I mean, same with Fortnite to some degree, but that shit is just. It's too cartoony, and there's people building walls and shit and jumping around.
I can understand the appeal of it, though. It's you know, if you're looking for something that's a little more tactical and reality based, you're gonna play PUBG. If you know, I get no problem with Fortnite. To me, that's like the Super Smash Brothers games. It's like this big party game. You know, why not?
It's like that South Park first person shooter from years ago, where I think there was a land gun or something like that. That game was amazing, but that's what Fortnite kind of reminds me of in some ways.
All right.
Just that it's so out there, you know?
Yeah.
But
I haven't been playing anything. I don't have time anymore. It's everything's such a time sink. I still haven't finished building my to the specs that I want at my RetroPie emulation machine, you know?
Yeah, how is that going for you?
I downloaded a different build, and I fiddle-farted around with it, so I basically am going to have to start from square one, and I probably won't do it until in a little bit more of a settled place, just because I don't have time, because I've looked online, and there's so many online tutorials for how to build your own arcade cabinet and how to mount a screen in it, or you can just buy the stuff prefab and put it together and get custom decorations, decals for the side, so eventually...
This is, you know, in some ways, like you're just developing a skill that'll come in handy in the future. I mean, you know, like I'm talking about sausages and people needing to, you know, be able to survive with PUBG, being able to build a video game system, like, you know, that's an important skill too.
I think. Know when everything ends up becoming copyrighted and you actually don't own the physical media that you buy anymore. I mean, what are you gonna do?
No, and I think what you built was pretty amazing, and it's crazy how small the freaking thing is. It looks like, you know, it's about the size of a matchbox. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a big scene out there for that. So I mean, if you're interested in old school video gaming, look up RetroPie and what that is, and you'll have yourself a good time. I'm sure I'll end up doing something on it once I finalize what I'm trying to do with it. But yeah,
pretty cool shit.
So Bob and I are both from Bob's from Boston. I'm from the suburbs of Boston. We went, and this is just another different conversation we're gonna have. He's a recent transplant to Long Island,
yeah,
for a multitude of reasons. So one of the reasons why we wanted to do the show is I wanted to keep him in the loop because he lived 12 minutes away from me for almost the entirety of the time that I've known him.
Yeah.
So doing this is just, you know, I wanted to make sure that we'd be able to, you know, stay connected and talk about stuff. And, you know, texting's all right, but, you know, you can't hear sarcasm and irony and jokes in a text. And, you know, just the two of us being grown men that we are, loving life and meat and video games, just wanted to get Bob into the scene, man. He wanted get him into that podcast scene. You know,
it's a great way to, you know, kind of catch up and also just, you know, try to make some money. So I think
it's, well, if you're looking to make money, yeah, we won't, because I'm going to be
any money.
I'm going to be using copyrighted music all over this thing. So we can't charge
1 cent. You can make 1 cent. Are they going to sue us?
Yeah, I mean, well, there is money to be made, but unfortunately,
how can we make money? What do we need?
You know
to
how
do?
You have to, you know how you make money podcasting? Be famous before you start podcasting.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, right, like the biggest podcasts are like CNN, NPR, Kevin Smith's podcast. You know, people that are things that are already established.
Yeah.
Then you can
even if they money. Suck.
Even if they suck, yes. We won't delineate which ones suck. We don't need to do
that. No. People can read between the lines. make their own judgments.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not in this for the money. I'm in this for having a good time. I say this on every podcast that I'm on when I'm introducing myself. If it's if it ceases to be fun, I will no longer do it because then it will be work, and I already have a real job. I don't need a second real job.
I'm in it for the money. Full disclosure.
Bob is in it for the money. Yeah. That is fine. We all have our reasons.
Yeah.
But, at the end of the day, I'm in it for fun and hopefully some meat.
Now, talking about meat, though, and the sausage talk, and, it's a valuable skill, and I think everyone should definitely take a stab at making their own sausage. But I was, in preparation, you're talking about making sausage, and I was actually researching, several sausage facts.
Go for it.
Do you want to hear my sausage?
Drop the science on us.
All right, so I was the first thing I did when you said sausage, the first thing I wanted to research was human sausage. Like, are there any cannibal cultures out there that ate humans? Because again, we're thinking about this post-apocalyptic scenario where people are eating other people, and you're gonna have to make sausages, right? Because no one wants to eat. Anyways, I actually found something. There's a thing out there. It's not called cannibal sausage. It's actually cannibal burger. But it's an actual thing. And I was reading this article thinking, there's this place in Minnesota that I was making. I'm thinking to myself, this place actually makes human meat sausage patties. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is crazy. What's this doing on the internet? And lo and behold, I found out it's not actually human. It's made out of beef. But it's an actual thing. It's called Cannibal Burger. And it's just raw meat that people grind the hell out of. But that was one interesting thing I found. Now here's a question for you. All right, this is the other fact that blew my mind. How long do you think is the longest sausage in the world? Like, wildest guess, wildest. Don't be conservative with this. What
the
do you
longest
how long
sausage
is
in the
longest
world?
Sausage in the world is? Yeah.
All right.
I don't think you'll get it.
People do crazy stuff now. The big food thing is a big thing now. I'm going to say, I'm going to go football field, 330 feet.
You're so wrong, dude. You're way off.
All right. Let me get one more stab at it.
All right.
All right.
You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it.
1 mile.
You're off. So the biggest sauce, the longest sausage in the world, measured 62.75 kilometers.
What the
You know what that's in miles?
Do the math for me. I hate math.
38, 38.99 miles.
What the hell? How did they even construct this?
Well, I know how they did it. It was made in Romania.
Well,
and
shit.
I gotta say,
Romania.
What are you gonna do? You're not gonna. It's like the Kansas of Europe. There's nothing going on. There's just a bunch of depressed people that really are just struggling to make ends meet.
We're gonna pretend to be vampires.
You gotta be.
We're gonna make sausage.
That'll draw people in for we'll talk about Dracula and shit. And we're gonna make a sausage that's 40 miles long. That thing could, I think you could get from Boston to Providence with that sausage. Like, everyone could just, it's just miles of, just
how
miles.
How many miles
of
was it again? I'm doing some Google foo here. I need to find out how far we can get with that length of sausage. How many miles was it?
Feed someone in Worcester from Boston with that thing.
All right, so let's
38.99.
39 miles. 39 mile sausage. All right. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to do Boston, Mass. Let's do Providence. Providence isn't bad. Let's see how far away that is. Let's see. That is how many miles? Of course, it doesn't tell me the mileage on this. Oh, 49 and a half.
So you couldn't do it?
Not quite. Damn.
You're in the suburbs, maybe.
Let's do this. Let's drag this back up to. Let's drag this up to Pawtucket.
At Pawtucket, you'd easily get to Pawtucket. You could take one bite at Fenway and the other bite in Pawtucket. That's got to be something that could be done.
That's still a little too far. You definitely get close to the border of the Rhode Island Mass border.
So it's one sausage link to get to Rhode Island. It's like how many, how long does it take to get there? Just one sausage link. That's a new measurement.
The new measurement, yeah. Now the question is, how long does it take to eat that sausage link?
Yeah, it's probably something that you can never do.
Tell me the odds.
But what if you found a place in the world where maybe people weren't eating as much, you know, proteins? And you just took it over there and just flew it in, and everyone could take a bite. I'm sure that shit would just be finished in a day.
Oh yeah, you know?
And it would be good for humanity.
I think it would too.
And maybe they did this. I'm looking at the pictures of it. Now here's the downside of this world's longest sausage. I'm looking at pictures, and it's not what you'd think it would be. It's not like they took it and they put it in like some kind of conveyor belt that's 40 miles long. It's all coiled up. But this is legit, man. There's like people from the Guinness Book, you know, with their notepads taking notes. You know, they get a certificate going. It's crazy. 40 almost 40 miles of sausage in Romania.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at the pictures now.
It's crazy, right?
It's fucking beautiful is what it is.
Yeah. So that was another cool thing in my sausage research studies that I found it. Now, all right, so I talked about the longest one, right? We talked about human sausage. It's not an actual thing. They don't actually make that, but they make some kind of like rip off of it in Minnesota. I'd still try it. It sounds amazing. But
oh, I would too.
Yeah, it's like, all right. It's like,
you
it's
know like I like exotic meats.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, shit, why not? So I was looking at the longest sausage. I found the most expensive sausage in the world.
Oh.
All right. So most expensive sausage in the world. So I want you to guess. Now, this one's tough because I suck at, like European money conversions and all that shit. I really suck at it.
I don't know
what a pound is, euro. I don't know. That shit's all just monopoly money to me. You know, it's actually easier to spend euro. When I was in Europe spending euros, I know I was spending more money, but it was actually easier because that money just looks like fake. It just looks fake. It's like all different colors. It's got kings and queens and shit on it. It's great going to another country and spending money because you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah,
it's just
we've
like,
just lost the European contingent of listeners.
No, your money's great looking. I think my favorite money is Canadian because it's made out of plastic and has ducks on it. But I got to say, it's just it's a great thing going and spending money in other countries. But anyways, this thing's in pounds, all right? So you got to guess in pounds. How much do you think one sausage link would cost in pounds, the most expensive?
Are we talking
stuff?
Like a standard bun-sized sausage link?
Yeah, this is actually, no, it's an English sausage, so it's a little smaller. A little smaller.
Okay.
It's a breakfast-sized link. But still, right. You know.
So it's super expensive. So that means it's coming from an animal that is either super rare or is already super expensive.
This isn't as crazy as that 40-mile sausage. It's somewhat realistic. But just guess, you know, how much? Right. Like, let's start there. How much do you think a regular sausage costs to make? I'm talking like wholesale.
Oh, hardly anything.
Like 15 cents. Let's just start with that assumption, okay? It's like 15 cents for a regular sausage. I want you to take that information and now guess how much the most expensive sausage in the world would cost.
To make or to purchase and eat?
Just make. Just out of the sum of all the parts, this is how much it's worth.
I'm gonna say it's a $500 link.
$500 link. You're way off.
1,000?
You're overestimated. But you know what? This is not bad because I started with a 40-mile-long sausage, and that just threw off your numbers. So it was only 37 pounds. So that's not that bad.
Nah, it's like a $60 sausage.
But that's
right?
One link. Yeah, that's one link. Price per kilogram, $700 a kilogram. So what's I gotta do this? I gotta do this now.
I got Google up, so we're doing currency conversion.
Up. Yeah, convert kilograms to pounds first because I don't know what the fuck a kilogram is. I think it's.
Well, just, I'm on the euro. Pounds, right? So one U.S. dollar is equal to 0.86 euro.
I'm talking pounds, though. This is in England. The Brexit.
Right, so let me go to pounds. Let me see if pounds is on here. Pound. Well, they all use the fucking euro now. I can't find.
They don't have British pounds?
Pound to dollar conversion. Hold on. 1.31 US dollars is 1 pound sterling. So I guess they're using the sterling standard for the pound, right?
Yeah. So, alright, so. One, how many dollars you said that was?
1.31.
So times that by 700.
So we got 700 pounds.
This podcast is gonna blow up, dude. We're doing math. Like, this shit's exciting. All right, just do this math.
So that's it's $918
for a kilogram. Now convert kilograms to pounds.
The actual weight now?
Yeah, how many kilograms? Because we got to make this American prices. All right, so this is English right now.
Kg to U.S. pounds. All right. How many kilograms? 1 kilogram?
1 kilogram is 900 whatever.
1 kilogram.
American dollars.
Is, I don't know the fucking metric system.
Come yeah, on. What the fuck?
All right, 1 kilogram is 2.2 pounds.
So 2.2 times whatever.
917. Let me get my calculator out. This is riveting fucking radio.
It is. We're just going to find out how much.
$2,017 for a kilogram of this expensive sausage. What meat was it made out of?
It was. So this shit's made out of. It's made out of a special pig from the mountains of Spain.
Okay.
All right. And it's probably one of those pigs that eats like acorns.
Truffles and shit.
And chocolate and like little children.
Ooh.
Lobster. Just one of those pigs that like luxury pigs.
Could you imagine sausage, pork sausage made out of a pig that ate lobster?
I can. And that, you know what? I want to get some lobster and get a pig when you say that. I mean, I saw someone make a duck with lobster bisque the other day and I, you know, but maybe feeding pigs lobster, that's the next step. But anyways, it's called a mangalista pig and the pork alone on this thing is 250 pounds per kilogram.
See, all right, 250 UK pounds per kilogram.
Like, yeah, that's a lot. No. I misspoke. It's 25 pounds per kilo, so it's not that bad for the pork.
All right.
So, but that's one piece, right? That's just mangalista pork. All right.
So what seasonings are they putting in here? Like saffron and fucking coriander and shit.
It's not saffron. Although if I was making, I would just throw a little bit in there because that would push it over the top. But truffles, right? Which go for. The truffles in it were valued at 70 pounds.
But you like mushrooms and shit. I don't fuck around with fungus. That's just not me.
Truffle, yeah, that's pretty, you know, expensive, whatever. But then what they make it really like expensive by adding this single bottle of port, which is like valued at about 450 pounds.
Okay, so
that's where they add the value. Yeah, and cheese. Listen to this, man. The cheese in this thing, 250 pounds just for the cheese.
Jesus.
And it's Stilton, which I'm pretty sure is Stilton. I mean, 250 pounds, dude? Like,
cheese better give you a reach around for that.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Jesus.
Like, what is this cheese? What's on this cheese? But yeah, so overall.
All right, what kind of cheese is this? I need to know in case it ever.
It's
like,
called Stilton.
Oh, it's still. Okay, yeah, that's a big boy British. Serious.
But you get Stilton at like Whole Foods, Trader Joe's. Like Trader,
you know what? This is probably the Stilton like from the organic, free range cows of you know, the part of England that nobody.
It's made by Stilton.
Okay.
It's like made by a guy Stilton from Stilton, England.
Okay.
By this cow. That's like generations of cows involved. That's probably what this guy does. He feeds his cow grass, massages it. It's like the Kobe beef of cheeses, essentially.
Yeah, like, because my first thought when you were talking about that expensive sausage, I'm like, did they make it out of Kobe beef?
Yeah.
Because that's, like, that shit I know is expensive. But.
Yeah, that'd be a waste of Kobe. Like, that's just stupid, you know? It's got to be pork-based. The best sausages are pork-based, you know? Even in making sausage, we've tried making lamb, you know, tried with, like, beef. I got to say pork, just best
well, beef. Beef is tough because. Honestly, I don't really want to eat a beef sausage because if I'm going to have a cut of beef, I just want a steak.
Yeah, exactly.
I want prime rib, sirloin, or what's the super marbly one? The ribeye.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I'm rolling if I'm having beef.
Even if it's like a skirt steak, just leave it, you know.
Skirt steak is cheap, but if you cook it right and you cut it the right way, it's delicious. Like, basically, when you're getting a steak and cheese sub, you're basically just having that.
Yeah, you don't want to fucking destroy steak. Don't. Yeah, if you're listening to this and you're actually inspired to make sausage, that's great. But don't make it with beef.
Yeah, don't. All right,
don't do that.
Start with pork. It's easy to work with.
Yeah, that's
as long as you go get a picnic cut pork shoulder. Either get one without the bone or have the butcher debone it. And you'll save a ton of time right there.
But yeah, this sausage is, to get back to the sausage though, yeah, $2,000 a pound of sausage. I mean, like I said, man, so, like, you know, there's going to be after the apocalypse, there's going to be the bullet guy, there's going to be the gas guy, there's going to be the water guy. I'm going to be the sausage guy. And I'm going to be getting $2,000 a pound at least. And I'm not going to need Stilton. I'm not going to need this expensive port. It's just going to be a skill set that's needed, you know? So I got dibs. And, you know, you can be the guy that makes video games for everybody.
I don't know. Well, sure.
With your little fucking matchstick video game things, I think, you know, we're setting ourselves up here.
I think so, yeah, too. All right. Well, is there any other sausage facts that you want to drop on us?
I got this is the most disturbing one.
Okay, let's end with the disturbing one.
So I was looking at this this kind of ties in with the whole human sausage thing that I was looking at.
All
right. And so I was looking at this thing about hot dogs and, you know, people finding, like, just strange. You know, you hear about, like, ears or, like, a finger. Just this stuff happens.
It does.
You know, like you know,
I read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. I know.
Oh, Upton Sinclair, dude. That was a brutal book to read, man.
It was fucking great, though.
I gave up after, like, 10 pages, and I gotta be honest with you, I got the cliff notes and just, you know.
Yeah, well, you know me, I was a good doobie in school, so I read it.
Yeah, you really were a good reader. But anyway, so I was looking at this thing about they took hot dogs from various producers and they tested it for, like, all the DNA that would be in it.
Are we talking in the United States? Or are we talking?
I think it was United States. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, let's say it is. So they did this look at it and they found that. You know, 14% of these hot dogs were problematic in some way.
14%?
That's more than 1 in 10 of these sausages.
Well,
it included the wrong meat. Just the wrong meat. Like, they're saying it's beef sausage, and they just got the wrong meat in there.
Okay.
I mean, that's like...
Well, okay, on the scale that we're talking about, though, like, if we're talking about a producer, somebody's producing for a mass market for consumers to purchase... 14% out of all the sausage that is made in this country that's available for retail sale and consumption, I don't think we're really... I mean, when you scale it, it's probably going to sound like a lot, but I mean, 14% really isn't that much.
That's a lot. That's too much, man. Like, so they were looking at... This is a good one, right? They're looking at not only just meat sausages, right? They looked at vegetarian sausage as well.
Whoa. Stop. What the fuck is a vegetarian sausage?
It's a sausage that doesn't want to have fun. It just wants to live a long, miserable life. And, you know, it wants to have low blood pressure.
And take iron pills for the rest of its life.
And
all
listen to, like, Cat Steve and shit. And just take, it's a miserable sausage that no one wants to, like, bring to the party. And if you do, fuck you.
I agree. That's about as political as we're gonna get on the show. We're gonna get political with food.
If you're finding that you need to eat vegetarian versions of proteins, you're not a vegetarian. You're just something different, and it's okay to eat meat. But anyways, these vegetarian sausages, they found that they included contamination from other animals, but they also found that they included human DNA as well. So.
Eh.
Think about that. There's all these people out there. They're eating vegetarian, doing the right thing. And, you know, 14% of these people are eating human sausages. They're not eating vegetarian sausages. They're eating human.
Hey, and that's you know what?
It's like soil.
In some ways, they're living the dream. In some ways, it's their worst nightmare. It's soil and green, dude. It is. Hey, man.
Snowpiercer. It's when they find out those bars are made out of, like,
insects. I haven't seen Snowpiercer yet. Don't ruin it for me.
You haven't seen Snowpiercer yet?
No, I know it's got Captain America.
What the hell's wrong with you? How have you not seen Snowpiercer yet?
I got all these other shows that I'm on. I gotta watch stuff for.
You gotta stop watching Solo. You gotta stop watching Serbian film. You gotta watch Snowpiercer, man. It's right on Netflix.
Serbian film caught me on the network, okay? I was the only one brave enough to watch it.
I don't want to watch that one because I know it's going to give me nightmares.
I'm already
haunted by many other things. I don't need to add the things that haunt my psyche.
Yeah.
That movie's fucking terrible. Anyways, I get back to these human sausages. Yeah, these vegetarian sausages out there. You know, if you're at the store and you're thinking to yourself, what are these meats should I eat that, you know, don't have human in them? Don't start with the vegetarian. You'd think that you'd go with vegetarian, right? But actually, it's counterintuitive. You got to kind of turn into this man And if you want to avoid human meat, don't eat the vegetarian sausages. But I was just looking at this, and I was the last thing that I found that was interesting is this whole thing about human DNA and who, you know, which 14%, it's all terrifying. Which brand do you think had the safest, cleanest, purest sausages?
Which brand?
Yeah, like which brand? And this is so self, like you it's pretty obvious which one.
Oscar Mayer.
No. Hebrew National.
Oh, that was my second choice.
It's Hebrew. You gotta go Hebrew National.
That's something to consider.
Well, it's the rabbis. They're watching it. They're blessing the meats. They're keeping an eye on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. They're making sure no humans are falling in. They're making sure, you know, they're making sure people are throwing in, you know, beef. There's no pork, right? You gotta avoid the pork.
Yeah.
So it's Hebrew National. So if you're that, I think that's a great way to kind of end it. Really, it's like if you're, you know, sausage is great. You should make sausage. But if you wanna not, you know, have a sausage that doesn't have humans in it, you gotta go with Hebrew National.
Or make your own.
Or make your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, that's a horrifying thought to end this episode on. But I'm glad you brought all these facts and fun things to the table tonight, because I was not expecting to get that deep of a dive into the wonderful world of sausage.
Yeah, it took hours of research, but you know, next time I'm at the store, I'm avoiding the Nathan's. I'm staying away from Oscar Mayer. You know, Maple Leaf, you taste great, but I can't trust you. I'm going to the Hebrew National.
Oh, man, do I have to switch out of the ballpark all beef? I might have to after.
It's not
this.
All beef though. It's all human and pork and who knows whatever else is in there, man. It's not all beef. It's a lie.
You heard it here first, folks. The meat is a lie.
Yeah, Hebrew National. No humans.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to bring this first episode of Grown Men Having Conversations to a very frightening and enlightening.
It's not frightening, it's enlightening, and it's really liberating, you know? Because, you know, now people can go out in the world. They have a plan, too, you know? You know, if you wanna go out there and be successful in the post-apocalyptic world, learn how to make sausage. That's lesson one. And lesson two, if you don't want to eat humans, eat Hebrew National. That's it. That's
well,
the takeaway.
Yeah, on that note, I'm ending this thing. We'll be back the next time. We don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I guarantee you it will be worth listening to.
Yeah.
I'm Chris Tyler, a.k.a. the Hey Metal Hero. I'm going to sign off. And Bob Bobson, watch me say goodbye to everybody.
Bye, everybody.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.